And we're back, and you are listening to Villain Cast, BJJ Anti-Heroes, with myself, Chris the Villain Pains, and Nake El Jefe Arshad. And welcome to Reap the Week. But first, a quick thank you to our members at In Theory BJJ, Concept Driven Jiu-Jitsu, Fight Commentary, Technique and Concept Videos, Private Coaching, Monthly Webinars and Q&A Sessions. Please visit www.patreon.com/InTheoryBJJ. So, we did try this last week, Nak, and it went horrendously wrong. I watched the footage back afterwards and it sounded like we'd had head injuries because we were either talking over each other or just sitting looking at the screen silently because the synchronization was completely off.
Yeah.
It was quite painful to... I sat there just like, oh, well, I can't even salvage this. This is completely ruined. We'll try again. A lot has happened. We've both been away. I went over to the States. You went over to Amsterdam. How have you been? How have you been since we got back?
I've been good, man. Like, realization of a lot of things and affirmation for most things of what we're working on and doing. Just working on getting things bigger and better, I think. I don't think there's much that we're doing wrong.
No, I agree. I feel really... this trip to the States really made me feel positive in everything that we're doing. Reinforced a few ideas.
We talked about getting recognised for our podcast as well, didn't we?
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. It's so odd. We're in a niche sport as it is, but to go into a gym somewhere and someone go, oh, like, can I get a photo? Because I really enjoy the podcast. I'm like, what? dude.
I'm not a celebrity. Like, I haven't done anything special.
No,
it's not that. Not that celebrities do anything special, but yeah.
Yeah, that, like, considering, you know, the career paths we were both on, to now be kind of Instagram influencers that are recognised on the travel.
I'm not an influencer. I'm not an influencer, bro. Chuck that word away.
No, please stop. Like, that'd be like the last like nail in me when I'm on my deathbed. Just like really drive it home. Just like, you were an Instagram influencer. Like, no.
No,
it's over.
No, don't add that in my bio anywhere.
No, it's fun. It's just so balmy. There was another thing that really like hit me recently. I was playing a game called Dead Island 2, and it's really like a satirical look of like LA. And there's a part you're in, like, I think Bel Air or Beverly Hills, and you're running through and you run into this like mansion like thing run by some douchebags. And these douchebags are running a podcast out of the back room, and you can like click on one of the buttons and it comes up with like the most recent podcast. And it just came up saying, oh my God, guys, can you believe it? This podcast has been around for 50 episodes. And I was like, oh, that felt personal.
Amateur numbers, we've got to pump them up.
Yeah, all that shit. It was saying all that shit. And I was like, no, this feels super personal.
it's fine.
Yeah, so you go first. Tell us about your trip away.
So obviously this camp I was invited to around December time, I got a message off Raul, like, you know, we're doing this little training camp together where it can be a few of us black belts together where we're going to do the ADCC Amsterdam at the end of it. And I just jumped at it. I was like, yeah, I need something to, because I wanted this year, like, start competing properly again, you know, sorting my life out of it. I was like, yeah, I need to get back on competing. And this was the perfect start to it. Even though, like, I got a real test of few weeks prior that at this level, like, weight divisions matter. You can't go in there against people twice your size now and expect to win every time. Like, I've done enough giant slaying, which kind of reaffirmed that.
I think I was talking to Brad, so one of the guys who comes to the gym, And he's what, just turned 30, and he's been boxing for 25 years. He's been boxing forever. It's the only thing he knows, is hitting people in the head. And when he used to like compete like pretty regularly, he even said like, and this is one thing I kind of recognize is, you know, he used to fight giants, and you know, do all these different things. It was a way of like, it'd be a way of like, I don't know if it's dealing with nerves, but it's kind of like if you lose against a giant, it's like, well, yeah, I lost against a giant. So it kind of removes any feeling of like, you know, you're an underdog. So if you lost, who cares? I guess it's a way of controlling like your pride or something. So I used to do it, like, you know, being at a weird weight when I was at the higher levels and not many people competed. I'd like, yeah, chuck myself in open weight divisions. And if I got my ass kicked, it's like, well, yeah, threw myself in open weight, like high level black belts. What do you think was going to happen? It's such a weird thing that you can kind of do to yourself. But you know, like we said before, this is a power based game. So the idea of having divisions is to control that power dynamic as much as possible, that variability. So then you're measuring skill, and if you're losing that, it's like it's a hit to the system. But at this level, you can't.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah, so I mean,
even the ADCC, like the division, I'm still small for that division, but I was like, yeah, it'll be a good test and I can test my skills and, you know, go in with a better strategy than not just, because again, I'm still trying to get my competition mojo back that I had a white and blue, you know what I mean? Where I was just this animal who didn't have to think about anything and I was ready all the time, and then a lot of shit happened and I'm trying to get my mojo back, which I think I figured out now. I did a different kind of prep for this ADCC and it came through in that first match. Even the second one, to be fair, but there was a lot of little things going on. But yeah, I was happy with that first one.
What did you do different?
Funnily enough, tried things that I did at White and Blue. So I'd listen to my music. I'd have a proper warm up, like I would in the gym. And then I just pumped. I just got myself really pumped that I didn't just go in. Like, if you'd have seen me going into that match where against that big lad, the current light heavyweight cage warriors champion. So going into that, I was just, so if you'd have seen me, you'd be like, is this guy even here to fight? Like I just woke up, went there, didn't warm up, just like, yeah, it'll be all right. And then by the time I woke up, I was in a neck crank from behind and I was like, oh shit, yeah, this is happening. So I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to have a proper warm up, get myself hyped and go in there like, you know, beast mode. And it worked. And I was like, yeah, I've got it now. I've got it back. But yeah, back to, yeah, so I went over. Out of the five or six black belts who were supposed to turn up, only two turned up, which still, again, it wasn't bad because we got to spend a lot of time together working on games and gaps in both of our games. And we made a really good collaboration out of it. And he's coming over now next week, Raul is. So hopefully this can be a good thing for both of our teams. I mean, them guys were very welcoming. It's like just another gym, same fighting fit there, like similar kind of mentality, similar kind of joking around, taking the piss out of each other, you know, beast moding each other as well. And just, it was like I haven't gone somewhere, you know, where it's different. It wasn't too different. And obviously Raul's a really good host himself. We've known him for a few years now, and the Wupas camps. Again, shout out, we've got a Wupas camp May the 24th through the 28th. So if you're interested, get in touch with Raul. Really good. I think the headliner is the current ADCC trials winner, Taylor Pearman. Good leg locker. So it'll be interesting rolling with him as well, hopefully. Because we are trying to kill the guard and leg locks, so it'll be really interesting. But yeah, so the things that we had gaps in, or I had gaps in, for example, my bottom game and leg locks, etc., which Raul is really good at, we kind of exchange skills where our top game in wrestling is not as good as Raul, so we were both helping each other in that way. And we came to the conclusion after both, obviously, watching and observing other people who won the pro divisions, it's like now it's time to, rather than knowing so many things and trying different things, is just going in with two strategies. And that's what we saw amongst people who won, is that they do the same thing over and over again and they play the rule set time. So obviously, like ADCC, you've got half points, half no points, so these guys would play that, whereas we went in like you know, it's a beast role. We'd go like hard, boom, like I want to win. But that's not the right strategy most of the time, which I realized watching these guys, especially the guy who won my division, like literally did the same thing to everyone. And it was just wicked to see. It's one of them where, you know, when you see somebody like in the gym, I'd probably beat this guy 10 times out of 10. But in competition, he just had the right comp mindset. He had the right comp strategy and he just went in there and just did what he needed to do. And the guy that I beat first, who everybody was looking like, shit, this guy is big and he's going to smash everyone. I was very strategical with him because the moment he got into my legs, I was like, okay, it's fine. I'm not going to rush. I'm not going to try and smash. I'm going to play my game. I'm going to kill his game. And, you know, if anybody who's watched it, like, he was done. At the end, we went into overtime. He had nothing left. But I had to be strategical. If I'd have fell into his trap, he would have probably leglocked me, or because you could tell he was very calm and he was playing the strategical game as well. But I just cooked him, cooked his legs and got him to a stage where I could tell he really wanted to come at me, but he just had nothing left in him. And I won on points, a couple of submission attempts. It was a good match. I really enjoyed that match. I was like, yeah. And for me, it was like affirmation that I do belong in this division. I'm a black belt now. You know what I mean? Like, you get your black belt and you think you have that imposter kind of syndrome where you're like, am I really this level? And then going there and then competing, I was like, yeah, I just need to fix up a few things and we've got it. And as a team, like, you know, we can work on these things and just go there and smash wherever we need to go.
Yeah, so that's it's obviously, you know, I vouched for you heavily when it came to getting your black belt, and no one ever feels like they're ready for it or worth it or anything. I'd be surprised if anyone ever does. Like, by that point, your humility has been beaten into you many, many, many times. by many people. Like a friend of mine who trains in Stafford, Rob Yap, he recently got his black belt. Like, I was told beforehand he was getting it, but I was in America at the time, so I couldn't be there. I spoke to him, I saw him in the gym like a week ago. I was like, how do you feel now, black belt? He went, I don't deserve it. I really don't deserve it. Like, holy shit, this isn't for me. And I was like, dude, it's weird, isn't it? Like, you never feel right for it. Even 5 years in now, I'm still like, this is weird. Because it also changes your mindset so much in that, that you don't... there's no other belts to chase now. It's done. Yeah. Like, you're never thinking again, oh, when am I going to get my next belt? When am I going to get my purple, my brown or whatever? It's just like, well, it's done. There's nothing else. It's just time. Like, you get a new stripe every 3 years or 4 years or whatever it is. There's nothing else. And so you've really got to love the game now. You're not chasing anything. You're chasing the love of the game. And actually, speaking about what you just said there, it was I had a conversation with Archie. Now, he was feeling a bit unmotivated in ways. And I said that, you know, there's that balance of you want to have an A game. You want to have a sharp blade in a strategically strong way. That, you know, if you pull this blade out, you're going to win. And I think that's one thing you obviously went in with, is that you have to be able to go in with that strong blade that you know that, right, if I play this game, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a problem with the blade in that, especially at the lower belts, the blue belt curse, in that if you develop an A game and an ego, which you normally do once you get, I think, let's balance this out. At every other belt, I think it's difficult because you have an ego and an A game, like from blue up, and you don't want the lower belts to get you, so you always pull out your A game and yeah. With everyone. And so learning new stuff becomes quite difficult because you're not willing to experiment. Because when it comes to trying out new things, you're probably going to lose by trying them. And, you know, that can show your ass, especially like at a blue belt. You think you need to be practicing stuff on white belts still. And you're going to need to try new things and you're probably going to lose. At this point, your ego is probably going to step in. You go, no, fuck that. I don't lose to blue white belts. And then you pull your A game out and you get into this fucking trap. And I'd say that's where plateaus come from. is that unwillingness to step out your A game. Like, you max out your A game and then you're not willing to try and add anything new. All the times we've broken plateaus is because we've gone, you know what? I'm just going to try something new, entirely different, and I'll see what happens. And we get smashed up for it. And I think it's easiest to do that when you get a black belt. Because I don't know about you, but I stopped caring. Like, if I get tapped by anyone, I don't care.
Right? Yeah, I agree. In the gym, I agree 100%. 100%.
But every other belt, I kind of did. And that was a problem. I think that slowed me the fuck down. Not, I think brown belt stopped quite a bit. But I think at other points, I cared a bit too much. At black belt, I just stopped caring. I think it's now allowed me to realise, because I was never told it, that at all the other belts, because I was afraid to lose, it slowed me the fuck down. I just had to go, you know what? I'm just going to try something different and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, this goes on to, we were talking about this recently, we're still like, especially for the guys who are coming through from our team now, we're the front runners. We haven't got anybody above us who's done it, and they've got the way they can pass on. We are doing it along whilst we're doing it. So we're trial and error at the moment. So our guidance to them will be from us doing it in competition and then passing it on to them. Whereas a lot of these established teams, which most gyms are doing well because they've got guys or they've had guys who've been there, done that, have passed the knowledge on. And they can, in competition, they have got way more experience than any of us. Me, you, like, from our team, competition wise, you obviously had completely no one because you had no coach and you literally had no guidance to that extent. And then now I've had you and then Abbas, who's competed a bit. But still, for these new guys coming through, they can see us competing and we can pass on these lessons to them and be like, look, this is what we need to work on now. As a whole fundamental kind of thing, we're good. Because I saw that at the ADCC, I was like, most guys, again, no offense to other people, but the fundamentals were off for so many people that I saw, even in the pro divisions. I was like, if we can channel this and really strategize it and bring it into that A game that we can deliver in competitions, we're untouchable, man. Like, not to sound cocky or anything, but it's just what I was watching. Like, there was no hand fighting, there was no getting up, there was people accepting shit positions. It was just sad to see, and I was like, oh man, like if we could get these fundamentals like into competition with our guys, oh, it's going to be mayhem. As we've seen in some local competitions without some of our white and blue belts, like when they get it on, we can't do anything to them.
No, I find our white belts especially problematic. I think it's that. I said to you before, like, the whole saying of jiu-jitsu is for everyone, fuck that. Like, anyone can join. Nah. I'll never hold anyone back. But I think there's a, especially with like how gyms are growing. Like, I remember there was a article I read years ago now. And it was about like the early tough era UFC fighters. It's like Chris Lytles of the world, etc. You know, where they go on to afterwards. And, you know, when they retire, you know, they've never really made a lot of money doing what they were doing because they weren't in the big money era. And now they have their gyms. And you can go, like, one or two ways. You either have monsters that you coach and you get, like, a lot of job satisfaction in a way. But they never make you a lot of money and you've only got monsters and not everyone wants to be a monster. Or you go the other way, where you make it friendly for everyone, and you get everyone in the gym. The problem with that is you're teaching closed guard and triangles for the rest of your life.
How to hold closed guard for 5 minutes.
And that, I think that's the problem, is like, it's finding that middle ground, especially because then you start growing these gyms, you want to have a really nice gym and really big spaces, and they cost a lot of money, so you need to bring more people in. And I think if you can find that kind of the middle ground that makes you happy, like, I'm not saying certain types are wrong, Like, you know, I'm all for jiu-jitsu. You know, you want to have a gym where you get as many people as you want, absolutely fine. Like, more people doing the sport, fantastic. But at the same time, I think there has to be a place for monsters where you're not afraid to kind of step out and do some weird shit sometimes. As long as you can then find that balance of everyone respects each other. I think that when we start to introduce, like, because I've heard, like, you know, how questions been asked, like, how do you find it doing stand-up all the time and wrestling all the time? A, we don't even have a wrestling program. We don't teach takedowns. So that's weird. But at the same time, it's like, we care about everyone else in the gym. I think that to make that safe, that had to be enforced of,
yeah,
right, this is your friend, you savage, look after your friend. If you hurt your friend's sad. And so,
I mean, the prime example is sometimes when we're rolling and we hear, like, Greg make a sound. This is our 17-year-old white belt, by the way, who just puts teenagers to shame. You know, he's just mad.
Oh, when
you hear him go, ah, or he make a noise, we're like, please don't kill the old man. We need him.
Yeah, exactly. I think as long as you... Because I hear stories of people who intentionally hurt other people in the gym. Like, they go out and, like, you know, they'll almost fight to kick off. And you think, what the hell? Like, okay, there's, you know, the amount of mats I've walked over that said, leave your ego here. I'm like, that doesn't really happen. Not that often.
No.
You need some to want to push yourself. Ego makes you want to succeed. So it's not a bad thing. Too much of it is a bad thing. Especially when you let it control your aggression. Violence is good, aggression is bad. But I think, like, you know, that's one of the things, like, you know, when we start to include a lot more takedowns and standing up, yeah, there had to be that control of, we make sure we look after our friends. But at the same time, I wanted that. Like, if people don't enjoy it, I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
If you say, oh, it's a bit too hard training here. Oh, well, there's like four other gyms in town. They'd probably be better for you. I'm not going to lower our intentions just to attract more people. I'm happy living small. Like, as much as, you know, we've got such a core, strong group. I'm like, I'm happy with that. You know, if we only have 15, 20 people training, cool. I don't need any more. Pays the rent.
Yeah.
I don't make anything out of the gym. So I'm happy with that. Let's just keep it this way. Like, because everyone's happy. And even, like, tonight, you know, everyone kind of had a bit of an appreciation of, like, we really enjoy it here. It's really cool. I'm like, good. I want to keep it that way. I like this style. Even if some nights are a bit quiet.
Yeah.
But I think we found a good way of controlling the injury rate during this.
Yeah.
Like, especially because, like, you know, going around and talking about heel hooks and stuff and teaching heel hooks to white belts. That idea of, you have to control the position for 5 seconds before you finish your submission. Like, I remember I rolled a view, I rolled a saw the other day. It might have been Ollie, one of the blue belts. And I locked him up into a heel hook. And I didn't put it on. He was fitting around. I just stared him out and went, we still cool? And he went,
yeah,
you would have got it. And I was like, yeah, there
we go. I was rolling next to you. And I was like, you were talking to him. I was like, Ollie, it's on, mate. It's on.
Yeah, exactly. And you think that is so safe to do. You can roll full speed of someone going mental trying to get out, and you can maintain that control. And then just look at them and go, yeah, we're good, aren't we? He goes, yeah, okay, fine. And it's such a safe way of then teaching dangerous shit to people. Like, I think our injury rate from submissions has plummeted. From that, with that kind of stuff, it's such an easy fix. Like, the amount of people who say, oh, they got their arm fucked up with a Kimura or an armbar or something like that. It's like, there's such an easy way of fixing that. Just maintain control and don't apply finish. If you can hold it for 5, you're always going to get the finish. If you can't maintain it for 5, you panic and try and get the finish, and that's when people get hurt or your ego gets fucked up.
Agreed. Like, the injury rate, you're right. It is amazing how since the split, how our injury rate has just you know, like you say, plummeted. Like the injuries are like if somebody's either overtrained and they've got a little niggle here or there. It's not from a submission, though. It's not from a takedown, or it's not from a even like we do slams. You know what I mean? Like we never used to do slams, and we do slams, and nobody gets hurt. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I know. Cultural shifts is what we needed. Who knew? And again, it was a lot of fun. Then, because obviously I've been out in the States as well, and I did my.
Yeah, how was that?
I don't appreciate sometimes that how I don't, you know, don't consciously become aware that how tough a tour like that is, in that, you know, it's that, you know, I know you're trying to get out and do a lot more seminars now and try and get back up, try and get on the road and do this stuff. But a couple of things that I kind of realized from it is, say if you've been paid for a 3-hour seminar, it's then balancing the time of, right, you've paid because you need the information that's in me to give to you. I could, and you know, I'm saying this as well from a person who used to book a lot of seminars, and now I'm on the other side of the fence, so to speak, is I can do a 2-hour seminar and 1-hour sparring. But then if you've paid me X amount of money, I'm not going to be able to roll with everyone in the gym in that hour. So that means for the majority of that hour, people are just rolling with their regular friends, which, you know, you've paid X amount of money and you're only getting 2 hours of content. Which seems a bit odd. The other way then, you do a 3-hour seminar and the end of it, everyone's just like, yeah, cool, that was awesome. I'm going home because I'm shattered. And like, then you do that a bunch of times and you get no rolling in. Like I did 10 seminars and I did zero rolling at any seminars. It was only from a couple of open mats that I managed to get to in like a couple of mornings. But other than that, nothing. And that means then that for those 2 weeks of traveling, I did almost no exercise. It was just on the road, seminar, on the road, seminar. And it's amazing. I meet so many cool people, I make so many friends, and we go out for dinner and we chat, and you know, I've come back with more friends. I love it for that way. Just when I get back, I need to get rolling as soon as I get back in the gym. I need to get on the treadmill. And I, you know, I'm hella respect to people like Preet who just go out and do this all the time. It's like to maintain your sanity that way as well, like trying to keep fresh and trying to get some rolling in. And you know, it's one thing I guess is, you know, again, advice is that when you're doing this, talk to the gyms and discuss, like, you know, a full timetable of what they want. Like, do you want 2 hours class and a bit of sparring? Do you want a 3-hour class? Do you want, you know, balance it out? Because it really does, especially on a tour, it messes with you. But on the flip side of that then is I recorded the whole thing, 300 gig of data. I told you this last week, but I'm going to reiterate it now. I'm turning it into an episodic release. So it's Charles and I. It's going to be available on In Theory. So that's patreon.com/InTheoryBJJ. There's going to be a voiceover. There's going to be explanations. There's going to be extra things film to explain some stuff. It has made me realize, and hopefully we'll record this later today when this is released, if you're in the gym tonight.
Of course.
I really need to record a lot of Kindle stuff. I've not recorded any Kindle stuff in a while. And I'm like, oh, that needs to go online. So I'm looking at recording a bunch of stuff for that.
Let's do it.
I mean, it's been a year. I mean, actually, that's weird. We were in the US at Fanatics 1 year ago. It was this time 1 year ago, recording that. It's been 1 year. And the amount of stuff has already changed from it. I'm like, we need to talk about this. So yeah, that's going to be a new thing. The tour was great. Flew into New York, went to Canada, Kentucky, Tennessee, Memphis, LA, Northern California, San Francisco, Sacramento, Denver, Philly, Connecticut, just coast to coast to coast. And this is And there's a podcast that we did out there with Steve Hordinsky. The sound got a bit messed up. I'm trying to fix it. But the video for it, he talks about Bladed Guard, Inside Bladed. And he's going to make a Fanatics release on that. And obviously, I brought it back into the gym. We did a class on it last Thursday. How good is it, Nak?
Oh, it's dandy, mate. It's dandy. It gets you out of bad positions, man. I love it. I love it.
I mean, Steve Hordinsky is I think it's a fourth degree black belt. He started training under Helson in Hawaii back in like 95, Helson Gracie. So he's been around for a long time. He used to give me stories like when he used to go to Elio's place, like he used to get invited to Brazil just to go to Elio's house and like train and chat and stuff like that. I'm like, damn, you've been around a long time. And so to like him to do the elbow, like the running man stuff, and then for him to do the elbow frame stuff, the Kindle guard, and then take his 20, 30 years of knowledge and apply all that stuff through that lens and what he's now come out with is stunning. Oh my God, it's been so much fun. Just rolling with that. It sits so perfectly. I'm going to try like a basic breakdown of it again for In Theory. We'll record a bit later, just like a precursor. Like, tell me what you think, guys. This is some stuff to play with. So that's going to go on tonight as well.
It's amazing to see guys like that, because there's so many who won't change their mindset because they believe in that, it has to be this way or that way. But I think, especially like with MMA and jiu-jitsu, because they are relatively new, like compared to other martial arts or combat sports, where, like, for example, I don't know, early 2000s, someone like Tito Ortiz or Chuck Liddell, great in their time, but they wouldn't probably make the top 20 now in the UFC, or it's the style has evolved so much, and the jiu-jitsu the same. Like, there were so many gaps in the game where over time people have changed things, added things. It's evolved into a more of, you can't do that same old stuff. It's that you have to do things, you have to be able to adapt, and I think leg locks was a big one when the Danaher boys started coming out, Eddie Cummings and all them, and that changed a lot of mindset of people. Like, now we have to do leg locks. Same with MMA, where before you could get away with being just amazing at one martial art, like being amazing at one striking, you'd probably get a certain point, or be a good jiu-jitsu guy and get to be becoming a champion. Now you have to be like amazing at everything and be exceptional at maybe one thing, and you're talking top 10. You can't just be I think the last one you could argue was probably Khabib, and a lot of people who, again, I'm a big Khabib fanboy, but not to the point where right now I reckon he wouldn't be champion, because as much as his grappling was exceptional, his striking wasn't on the par for someone like Islam. Like, Islam's striking is a whole other level, which he doesn't get respect for, and he would have eventually lost. And it's a lot of people, like, he did the perfect thing. He's got the undefeated record, and I think it's going to be very, very, very hard to somebody to beat what Khabib did. But he played it smart. He went when he knew, okay, either I've got to change my skill or advance or make my striking better to the point of where my grappling isn't just what I believe in or what I do, or I go. Again, he had his own reasons for going, but I think if he'd have stayed around, he would have really had to up his striking game, like Islam, for example. And Islam was a better striking than him. And if you listen to what his dad used to say, like, he always said that Islam is the better fighter, more naturally, because he is more well-rounded. And I think it's going to be hard for anybody to just come in now and be really good at just even, for example, really high level strikers. For example, Israel Adesanya, like, amazing striking, but if you look at his defensive wrestling, you can't. His defensive wrestling is amazing. It's like up there, but he had to learn it. You can't just go in there like thinking, I'm gonna beat everybody just striking without doing any grappling at all. And people tried to grapple with him, and he was just good at keeping himself safe and doing what he does best. And same with jiu-jitsu now, where it's, you can't just be a leg locker. You can't just be a guard passer. You've got to be able to do both. And wrestling as well, like what we've seen in the ADCCs recently, where you can't just sit on your ass anymore. You have to be able, there's an element of wrestling. And again, the point system in ADCC, there is a little bit of still loophole when it comes to pulling guard, but it's you can't just be a guard player anymore. You can't just be a leg locker. You'll get to a certain point and you're going to meet someone who's good at everything and you're screwed then. So the game has evolved, and it's great to see guys like that who have been from the beginning or you know back in the early days, and they've realized, okay, the game has changed. The way people pass has changed. The way people play or attack guards has changed. So there has to be element of getting up. There has to be element of being able to wrestle up or standing up and wrestling. I think it's amazing when you can change your mindset and be open-minded and be like, yeah, okay, this works. So, okay, whatever worked before works, but this is better and we can adapt it. It's amazing.
He's a genuine, curious student of the game. Like he actually finds jiu-jitsu interesting. So when there's something new come around, he's like, oh, what's that? And I like that. I hope I keep that as well. That I, whenever I see stuff, I go, well, that looks fun. I want to try that out. And same with this bladed guard, as in, you know, first night I kind of came in, I was like, I want to play with this. And I failed a few times, failed against white belts and blue belts. So I'm like, cool, okay, well, that's fine. I'll figure it out. And, you know, I want to give that kind of, now, you know, I played it against you the other day and it felt really good. But I want to give that kind of preliminary understanding of it out there and then let people try it. I mean, that's one thing that I think I said earlier on our little group chat is that I trust other people. Like, I'm just a dude that's played stuff longer and people maybe listen. But I don't want to discount other people's intelligence. And so if I see for something, I'm like, I think there's value in this, I'll show it now. You know, even if my understanding of it isn't fantastic, if I open it up to people, they're going to then go, oh shit, I found this doing it. And we can feed that information back into each other and go, oh shit, didn't even think of that. Let's add that to it. Same 100%. As like, you know, giving Kindle out 1 year ago, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, whatever. And now all the information that's come back off the whites and blue belts, I'm like, oh, this is really helpful. And when they ask questions, then we can figure it out together. And so, because I think there's a lot of value in this inside bladed, I want to open it up and go, right, what do you guys think? Should we play this? If there's no value, if there is value, and already it feels good, but it'd be fun with Raul in town. We can play a bit more with him. Because you know, just try it out. If we get smashed, we get smashed, we learn more data. Becoming an internal student of the game. And I think that circles back around to what I said earlier, and that when you get stuck into your A game, that's when you develop a plateau. And that's, don't let your ego get hold of you. I think the worst thing you can give someone is a blue belt sometimes, because it just gives them a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and then they turn to shit.
Unless you want them to go away. You can leave now.
Well, again, even being a really, really good white belt and having a bit of a legend attached to how good you are, like, you then go hone in on that thing that makes you good and you won't step out of it and it fucks you up.
Weren't you labelled as the greatest white belt ever or something like that in the Globetrotter camps or something crazy?
Toughest white belt in the world or something, yeah.
Just
because I've been there for 5 years. I think it's a... I said it's one of the more important things to actually know about jiu-jitsu is that your ego is fucking you up. It's not that it fucks you up against other people, like it makes you want to hurt them and stuff like that. It's fucking you up because you don't step out of your A game and try new things and accept loss, accept losing, and accept data retrieval. You have to if you're going to break those plateaus. Find, you know, practice it. Practice against lower people. Learn, you know, if I tried, like, say, if I came in and used to blade it against you, you'd have broken it instantly. But I used it against white belts, and they gave me one or two problems, and I fixed them. And then you climb the ladder. And the lesson of that is don't use stuff against your peers. Use it against lower level people than yourself. Lose. It's fine. Who gives a fuck? It's a game. You'll come around eventually. And again, I'm such a nerd. Dude, it reminded me of COD. Of, not fish, but as in Call of Duty. In that, how you unlock certain things for other weapons, you have to play a different weapon set. Like, you might get a scope for, like, an assault rifle, but you have to play shotguns for a bit. And so,
Did you get comfortable with the M4? Fully loaded, like fully scoped out M4. Like, that's it. I can win every match with this. And then you're like,
isn't that right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? I remember playing it and thinking, this is like jujitsu. Like, I have my A game, I have my M4. That if I want to go in and just blitz a match, I'm going to go in M4 or whatever. Yeah. But then to unlock like better scopes and stuff, you have to like do it with a shotgun. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. I have to go and learn how to be a shotgun player then. And like, that's how I spoke to Arch about it. I was like, because he plays COD, I was like, you have to imagine this is like COD. And he was like, oh. I'm like, oh, I speak your language now, do I?
He's a proper nerd on COD, man. He's got some crazy rank. I'm like, fucking hell.
Dude, hasn't he just? But there's value in that kind of like understanding of the system.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a firm believer that actually works. Like, if you want to learn jiu-jitsu and break those plateaus, like, get good at other things. It will come back to your A game eventually. You'll flesh out ideas that you didn't realize.
100%.
And, like, you know, playing all this stuff with standing up, my God, that's fixed so many holes in so many places that you wouldn't even expect. It's you're getting a whole new scope and stock for your main weapons. Nerd shit.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll see you tonight. This has always been fun. It's been good. Hopefully this week happens, because it's been a really good one, and I think there's important things that people need to hear out of this. Back on it next week. And yeah, there'll be more videos for In Theory recorded tonight and released over the next few days, so check those out on the Patreon. Other than that, thank you, Nak.
No problem.
Always a pleasure. Keep us up to date when you're out on the road, so I can announce it on this when you get booked stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But I think you've got some stuff coming up that we can announce soon. So,
yep.
I'll see you this evening, sir.
No problem.
Have a good night.
See you in a bit.
Bye.
And you. Bye-bye.